Books on Tape presents Firestorm by Iris Johansson. Read by Bernadette Dunn. Prologue. She couldn't breathe. Mama? I'm here, baby. Carrie was being gathered in her mother's arms. I'm going to put this cloth over your nose. Don't fight me. Mama was coughing, and Carrie could barely hear her through the crackling. Crackling? Fire. Flames were climbing up the curtains at the window. It's okay, Carrie. We'll be out of here in just a few minutes. Mama was moving toward the bedroom door. Just try not to breathe too deep. Daddy! He's not here, remember? But we can make it. We're a team. She opened the door and then took an involuntary step back as black smoke blasted into the room. Oh, God! She braced herself and then ran into the hall. Fire everywhere. Crawling up the walls, licking hungrily at the banister going down the steps. Her mother was crying, tears running down her soot-stained cheeks as she hurried down the stairs.
Don't cry. Don't cry, Mama.
Her mother had reached the landing when she suddenly lurched and pitched forward. Falling, tumbling, hurting. Where was Mama? She couldn't see her in the smoke-filled darkness.
Mama! Go on, Carrie. The door should be only a few feet away from you. Go outside and find someone to help us.
No, I won't go,
she was sobbing, whimpering.
Where are you? Right behind you. I've hurt my leg a little, but you have to mind me. Run!
Her voice was so commanding that Carrie instinctively jumped to her feet and ran toward the door. Fresh, cold air. Find someone. Find someone to help Mama. She slipped on the icy steps and fell to the sidewalk. Find someone. There was a man across the street, standing beneath the streetlight. She picked herself up and ran toward him.
Help! The fire! Mama!
He was turning and walking away. He must not have heard her. She ran after him.
Please! Mama said I had to...
He turned, and she stared up into his shadowy face, only dimly lit by the flickering flames. She screamed.
Shh! Be quiet. There's nothing you can do.
He raised his hand, and she saw something glittering, metallic, in his grasp. A gun? He brought it down on her head. The night exploded. Chapter 1. Oak Brook, Washington, D.C.
This isn't the end of it, Brad. Cameron Devers' lips tightened with irritation. I've no intention of standing by and watching you waste your potential working with those damn nutcases. You're one of the most brilliant men I know, and I have a job for you here.
Where you can keep an eye on me?
Brad grinned as he leaned lazily back in the chair and stretched his legs out before him.
It wouldn't do you any good. I'm a lost cause. Only because you wanna be, and it's not good for you. You're burning yourself out. Look at you. You've lost weight since I saw you last.
A little. I've had a rough 4 months.
Then give it up and come to me.
And do what? If I were anywhere close to you, the media would eventually ferret out our connection.
Besides, you can't trust me. I'd get mad and open my mouth at the wrong time and blow your political career.
His smile faded.
I've done a hell of a lot of harm to you in these last years, but I won't do that.
I'd chance it. I've been in the Senate for 12 years, and if my reputation can be damaged by just having you around, well, then maybe it's time I step down.
No.
Brad paused and then tempered his tone.
Look, Cam, don't be an ass. Everything's going fine. We don't need to change anything.
He stood up and glanced around the elegant, book-lined library that breathed wealth and solidity.
This isn't my world. You can't squeeze me into your mold because you want me to share the good life.
He smiled.
Besides, what would Charlotte say?
She'd come around. She just has some weird ideas about you.
Brad looked at him inquiringly. Cam made a face.
Says you make her uneasy. She thinks you're sinister.
She used that word? I didn't think anyone could make your wife uneasy. Maybe I'm more intimidating than I thought.
She doesn't understand you. Like I said, she'll come around. There's no reason to force her to make the effort. Things are fine as they are.
Cam was silent a moment.
Did it ever occur to you that I'm being selfish? I've missed you, Brad.
He meant it. Cam was always honest.
Oh, shit, don't do this to me.
Brad shook his head.
I've missed you, too. Maybe we can arrange to get together more often. That's not good enough. I've been looking at my life since that horror on September 11th. And when it all comes down to the bottom line, it's friends and family that count. I won't let you walk away again.
Cam! Charlotte Devers was standing in the doorway, sleek and sophisticated in a black gown.
I didn't want to disturb you, but we're going to be late for the embassy dinner.
She smiled at Brad.
You and Cam can talk when we get back.
He shook his head. I'm just leaving anyway. No, you're not,
Cameron said firmly.
I'll only be gone a few hours, and I want you here when I get back.
Perhaps tomorrow? Charlotte suggested. I've had a room prepared for you, Brad.
As usual, Charlotte was trying to control the situation with gentle skill, Brad thought. She wanted Cam to leave, and she didn't want him to talk to Brad until she could find a discreet way to ease Brad out on his ass. Well, he couldn't blame her. She valued Cam's career more than his brother did, and was always on guard to protect it.
I'm not going anywhere until you make me a promise.
Cam stared Brad in the eye.
Will you be here?
Brad glanced at the faint frown between Charlotte's eyes and then smiled slyly.
You couldn't budge me.
Great. Cam slapped him on the shoulder before turning away.
Come on, Charlotte, let's get this thing over with.
He strode out of the library.
Charlotte hesitated and started to speak.
Don't say it, Brad murmured. We're on the same side,
he added.
If you don't piss me off.
He followed Cam into the foyer and watched George the butler help him into his coat.
Very impressive. I haven't worn a tux in 15 years. Does that tell you anything? It tells me you're damn lucky.
Cam took Charlotte's arm and helped her down the front steps toward the waiting limo.
Make yourself at home, but don't go to bed. You made me a promise. Does that mean I can't get drunk on your excellent brandy? No, I want you stone cold sober.
He smiled at him over his shoulder.
I have an ace in the hole, and I need to tell you about a job that may intrigue you enough to lure you here. It's right up your alley.
Weird and sinister? He asked, straight-faced.
I'm going to get my way, Brad.
Now don't nag him, Cam, Charlotte said gently. Brad knows what he wants to do.
But not what's best for him.
Brad watched them get into the limousine. He planned on going back inside, but he couldn't resist standing here and letting Charlotte see him so at home on her front step. Dressed in tennis shoes, worn jeans, and an old sweatshirt, he couldn't have been more of a blot on her fine landscape. His enjoyment was totally immature, but he didn't give a damn. He usually didn't mind Charlotte's attempts at manipulating Cam. She was a good wife to him, and that was all that was important to Brad. Tonight, she was trying to manipulate Brad as well, and that he couldn't tolerate.
Would you like me to serve you coffee in the library, sir?
George asked from behind him.
Why not?
He grinned at him over his shoulder.
Since I've been forbidden the comfort of...
Whoosh! Dear God! George's eyes were wide with shock. Brad's head jerked around and followed his gaze to the limo.
Christ in heaven!
The interior of the limousine was a sheet of fire. He could see Cam and Charlotte writhing like burning scarecrows in the flames.
Son of a bitch!
He flew down the steps toward the car. Atlanta, Georgia, 6 months later. Carrie carefully touched the blackened timber lying across the bathroom sink. It was still slightly warm from the fire that had destroyed the restaurant 2 days ago. That wasn't unusual. Sometimes hidden pockets of embers remained burning for days. Sam, her lab, whined and pushed nearer to Carrie. He was easily bored.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?